service to bless them and to catch up with our other vineyard friends there. So they're a very small congregation. You might think that we're a bit of a small gathering, but a small country town, they don't have that many people to go around. And it's a very intimate experience. But that doesn't matter to God. The size of the room is nothing. God doesn't care. He'll still do his thing. So, yeah, there's a big expectation. It's not about us. God's going to come and do his thing. And we have the blessing to be a witness to that.
Yeah, so let me pray. Would you pray with me and bless these guys? Father God, thank you so much for the heart of Toe and Josh and Angus to bless our fellow Vineyard family. Father, we just send them with every blessing from Marion Vineyard, Lord, as they go. May they know that our hearts are with them. But Holy Spirit, would you also meet them powerfully in this week as they prepare to go? But also, Lord, would your presence be powerfully tangible in the space at Bordertown as these guys minister, as they bring your word, and as they bless our larger Vineyard family and the family of the wider church. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity. Would you keep them safe in their travels? Would you go before them, hem them in ahead, behind, and at their left and their right? Father, we thank you. May you be blessed by the trip that they take. In Jesus' name.
Terima kasih Tuhan. Ada translation tak? Terima kasih Tuhan. Thank you God. Apa kabar? Baik-baik sekali. Saya hari ini nak bicara sedikit bahasa Indonesia. So today I'm going to speak a bit of Indonesian. I want to bring you good news from Indonesia. Very often when we go to a foreign country, so Indonesia is very foreign for me. It's very diverse, very creative people. You know, this batik is from one small village. You go to another village, they got another batik style and all that. This is Temanggung. I just met my sister from Java. So this is Javanese culture. Very, very creative, very strong culture. And you go to Lombok got its own style. Then you go to Palu, so they got 17,000 islands. And they're very creative. I just love the Indonesian. So I want to bring back a taste of what I tasted. It's very hard, you know, in the vineyard. You know, John Wimber was the first one who really coined a phrase, but it's all over the place now. Things are caught rather than taught. So I caught so many things that God showed me, contextualized mission and discipleship is different in different places. God do not do same old. That's why I love going overseas, because I see like, wow, what are you doing? Building a mosque for Jesus Christ? How do you do that? You know, they're just very, very creative. So I want to bring a bit of that. And part of that is understanding the spirit of prophecy. Prophecy is basically God have already spoken in the past, present, and future. We just need to tap into eternity to say, what are you doing? What are you doing here? And it is with the eyes of prophetic that you see and you will hear what the Spirit is saying. When you do that, I tell you, I would love to take you all to where I've been to just experience what God show you. And then God say, you can come and play too. I've been working here. You don't have to start anything new. You don't have to, you know, politically correct. You don't have to bring your West Western mindset. Just see what I'm doing with these indigenous people. Because there's 0.6 billion people. Guess what? I address each of them individually. And we all know fingerprint is not the same, like snowflake. There's billions of them. We sang about the universe. So why does God want to do same old, same old? Sometimes we bring the mindset, you know, I actually got pre-planned. You know, I thought I got 4 very good sermons. When there, God say, nah, ditch it. It's not good. It doesn't work here. You might work in Adelaide. You might work in the United Church or Baptist Church. But doesn't work here. First slide, please. So this is more about not what I did, but then there's a bit of facts and figures. The facts and figures, I went with an odd guy. Sorry, shouldn't say that. He was different from me. So we were really, really odd couple. And this is the first time we try to do ministry together. And I tell you, the first place, second place, we nearly fight. We nearly broke our friendship. It's only the third place that we kind of learned to mutually submit. All right? He is so organized. Our room, that square, all right? This square is all his clothes. All right? My side is all over the place. So it's just so funny. In fact, we are such an odd couple. One place we went to, they look at each of us, you know, we're from Australia. They gave us a queen size bed in a single room. They're like, we quickly ran out and said, no, 2 twin share, please. All right. So facts and figures. It was 13 to 14 days trip. It cost us $2,300 per person. We went to 3 main places of 3 islands. And you can see it was 13, 14 days, but we only on the land, having awake time to minister Palu 4 days, Lombok 2 days, Temanggu 3 days. So where did the rest of the time go? It's just waiting for the plane. And then the plane get delayed. And then we get transit, you know. We wake up 4 a.m., 7 a.m. flight. Fly to one place, 8 a.m. And wait there for 8 hours for next flight to Palu. So it's just crazy traveling time and crazy waiting time. And we got 6 different beds, so it was tough physically in that sense. But the grace of God, you know, I really learned when we are weak, that's when the grace of God come and say, okay, I got this, I got you. And so with the sleep deprived, when we get to do in the ministry, we are switched on. I use the word supernatural, it is. Because physically, I know I can't survive on 3 hours, but that's all I get. And then my body is aching crazy because their road is not the best, their car is not the best, so you go, so all my nerve pain just amplified. But the ministry opportunity was, like say, nothing like what I experienced here. We did youth ministry, you know, it was switch on. We did 4 services. So Palu and Temanggung is quite different. We did morning and night services. And then we end up doing some business workshop because Stefan is, you know, business guy. He just want to do that. And then we have a lot of divine, I call it divine appointment and opportunity. Things that are not planned, but God planned it. And that's the grace of God, all right? That's the grace of God. It's like we didn't plan it, but God say, I want you to meet this couple. I have arranged for you to meet this person. We're like, okay. So that's part of being prophetic, okay? I want to use the word prophetic and downplay it, to make it very common, but very essential when you go to a place that you're completely out of your comfort zone. You know, Stefan is like, what happening? I say, I don't know. This is my first time too. But you are an Asian. I say, yeah, not all Asian alike. Do you Do you know how many Indonesian? 217 million. You think I'm one of them? All right, next slide. He's a good friend. All right. When I took this picture, I didn't realize what God was actually saying to me. All right. I like, wow. You know, I like say they are very creative, colorful people. All right. I saw this. I like, I want to take a picture of it. Yeah. When I took the picture, God say, you know what? They are doing the heavy lifting. Don't think you're coming as a big foreign missionary telling them what to do, how to do. You know, I come to bless you, all that song. You know, the mission, Mission Day is God's mission. God already doing stuff. He's already empowering the poor in the spirit. For theirs is the kingdom of God. We don't realize that. They actually have more kingdom power and presence that I've seen in the Western world. When we use the word simple, they're not simple people. They're very creative people. You know, given the lack of resources, I would say they are smarter than us. We got all the gadgets, you know, we got like 10 Bibles, you know. Whatever lack of resources is, they rely on God so much. That's why they see the kingdom power, the presence, and just the creativity in your life, in your community, far greater than what we can see. Missio Dei, God's on the mission. But that, you know, slight lifting is significant because I'm a foreigner. So a foreigner come, they like, why you spend all this money and time to come? That's where the prophetic comes in. When you speak a word of season, you help them to see beyond where they are. Next one. So, I actually got this t-shirt from somebody's bag. I say, can I have the t-shirt? He kind of like, okay. So I have it at home. That's a t-shirt I found in Palu. I say, wow, where did you get that? It sounds so vineyard, isn't it? So it's KCC, Kingdom Community. Sorry, Kingdom Communication Community. That's what they do. I say, who founded this? Oh, some lady in Solo. So Solo is their kind of Bible Belt. They got a prayer mountain. I say, who's this lady? Oh, just an Indonesian lady. She's very prophetic and very powerful in teaching. So he started a lot of community, lots of community, very prayer, very kingdom-minded, and just doing the kingdom stuff. Very sound in the doctrine. That's what I mean. God is at work 24/7. And we know from the scripture, Jesus said, my Father is working until now. That now again, if you take it into eternity, it's not now, here, you know. It is here, but it's in all eternity. God has been working. It is just when I am there, I realize the now of God, who is already eternally putting things in place in the Jawa culture, in the Lombo, you know, in Temanggung, you know. So my part is to be like Christ, or Christ-like, and say, Father, what are you already doing here? Not to bring the Western mindset to put, you know, like made in Australia and like in Jawa, doesn't fit. We have to know that God has already made Jawanese, the Jawa way. You know, when I go to Lombok, it's an island of 1,000 mosques. But the Sasa people have been there. It's been invaded by the Muslim. So the Muslims say, no, 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 we're going to claim this island. It's going to be island of 1,000 mosques. But the Sasa people, they are animistic. They are curious. They don't understand much about God, but they understand the spiritual world. All right? So in Lombok, I come across three groups. I've got good friend Mari and Bob who support Agus Abanat. Most of you know Agus Abanat, the short guy. And he got a twin brother. He found a twin brother who is a bit bigger. bigger than him, like Arnie and Danny, you know, the movie. If you don't know the movie, that's all right. So his twin brother, Mario, you know the name? Aria. Yeah, Mario, you know. So this is Lombok. Agus been there, and he loves the word reincarnational. He's been with this village. Sorry? Reincarnational, not incarnational. I know my English. It's a reincarnational ministry. Come on, you should understand the word. Anyway, he basically put himself and be one of the Sasak people. He's been there for 25 years. And because of that, he has credibility. He sits among the elders of the Sasa. This group of Sasa are Buddhists. All right? So Sasa is mainly animistic, but they have embraced Buddhism, Hinduism, Muslim, but some are still very animistic. So Agus is among them, 25 to 30 years. All right? Help them build the road, help them have clean water, help them to have a toilet, all right? A lot of the kids were dying because they didn't have toilets. They just go to the back and, you know, do whatever and then come back and then don't even wash their hands because there's no clean water. So Agus's been there for 25 years and he's building a training center on a hill. For a lot of Westerners, again, it's like not very practical, but if you know Agus, and you see what he does, it's hard for you to judge. But it's easy for us to judge when we haven't been there. Agus, what are you doing? Can you write report? It's so hard to write report because contextualize, if you don't know where it is, what kind of report he's going to write? So the KPI of the mission committee, he will fail because he's not seeing many converts, but he is seeing converts. But he's changing a whole community. Bit by bit, bit by bit, a whole new generation is respecting. There's such a guy as Agus who's willing to spend his life, his saving, to hang among us. So his credibility, he sits among the elders and the monk. The Buddhist monk say, come, you wise man, come and sit with us. That's Agus. Let me go on. All right, next one. I want to talk about delay because this is something I learned because there's so much delay. The first one nearly killed me. All right, the first delay was we fly to Bali and then have to get up 4 a.m. So even before we, you know, acclimatize to the time zone, we have to get up 4 a.m., catch the flight at 7 a.m. And then 7 a.m. we got to Makassar, which is a transit to Palu. Palu is where I want to get to, but there's no direct flight. So we have to stay in Makassar from 8 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. And then they delay the flight for another 1.5 hours. Oh, that is the one that nearly killed me because there's a youth ministry waiting for us. So that was almost a disaster. But then there's another delay coming back from Palu to Lombok. So again, I don't know why the travel agent just booked very early flight. So the flight was supposed to be 7 a.m. on Monday, all right? 7 a.m. No, it's Tuesday. 7 a.m. on Tuesday because Monday it was our day off hanging out with the Palu pastor. Let me just mention that and the dividend, all right? So this is our first stop, Palu. Palu is a church I've been to last year, but this time they were going through grief because the founding pastor had 2 strokes in January, so he can't think and talk straight. Then his wife died very suddenly. So the son basically took over by default. Last year when he said, no, I don't like this big church. So he's the KCC guy, the Kingdom Community. He go out and plant house churches, go to villages. just teach them the gospel and do the kingdom stuff. So he doesn't like the so-called attractional big church. You know, he just go out and do the stuff quietly. So by default, he has to look after it because he's the one that qualified. He has another bigger brother, Patrick, you know, who is in the business world. So he have to take over. So my main purpose was to go to see how it's going. But while I was there, he said, oh, can you preach for us? So I preach in the morning and then night service. So my sermon didn't work because they were grieving. They were mourning. So this is where the prophetic stuff comes in. I'm like, Lord, my sermon's not going to work. So within a few hours, God gave me some scripture. And I've never preached it before the way I preach it. But somehow with the scripture, you know, logically, it doesn't work for me. But, you know, somehow it works once I present it. So the first one I say, you know, you're stuck. You're stuck. You have to get up. You have to go get going. Remember your founders. You know, I know you're grieving and all that, but by the grace of God, I'm sure they will want you to get up and get going. You have to get up and going. So I preach, I say, in a way that they could get it, and I could see the atmosphere start changing. That's the power of prophetic word. Exhortation, edification, and encouragement to keep going. You know, part of the encouragement is to strengthen them, to give them courage again. Come on, get up. Edification, you know, just to help them, build them up a bit and say, come on, come on. And then the night service, which again, I wasn't prepared. It was their 40 days memorial of the passing away of Ibu Evelyn. So I haven't done anything like that. 40 days, what does that mean? Is that a funeral? Obviously it's not, it's 40 days, but it's a memorial. So they invited Muslim, Buddhist, because it was that kind of thing, relatives to come. So suddenly night service, over 200 people, and quite a lot of them, I think 5-6 were pastors of quite big denomination because they came to honor the lady. Again, God gave me a different message. But that message helped them to turn the mourning to rejoicing. At the end of the message, they were partying. They realized this is good because I preached on, what did I preach on? Anyway, you weren't there. Anyway, I preached on something that uplifted them to realize, okay, I use Psalm 23 as a heavenly vision of saying, can you see Evelyn is with Jesus now? He doesn't lack anything now. You know, he's rest. You know, and when he go through the shadow of death, he's not dying. It's just a shadow. You know, so I haven't thought like that before, but they got it. And I say, you know, Evelyn is partying up there. Guess what? She would want you to be there too. But you got a choice. You begin with Christ. If you end with Christ, you're going to party there. If Jesus Christ is partying with Evelyn, I reckon you should party too. So they start lifted and changed. The dividend, when we were delayed, in Palu. So our flight from 7 a.m. will change to 1 p.m. This time I say, Lord, I'm beginning to understand you got assignment for me. You're already working. So what is the assignment I have in Palu that I have not done? And, you know, we were open. And then Tuesday morning, a couple invited us for breakfast. So this couple just flew in from Jakarta on Monday. So there was no way they could have, you know, gone to the Sunday meeting or whatever. And this couple ended up to be, the woman was a businesswoman, with few businesses, and then the husband was a congressman of Palu. All right, it was Ramadan, so their cafe restaurant normally don't open to 12 noon, but they opened a restaurant for Stephen and I to come and have breakfast with them, with the young couple. So they were from different church. You know, that was God's assignment. God gave us word, we ministered to them, I gave them some strategy about family, business, and political. So he's a congressman of Palu. That sounds big, but I really don't understand what it means. But he's like 30-something, he's being encouraged to go on higher level to take over the bigger region. So that was God's assignment. So when you are in God's timeline, delay, just realize it's not always disaster. Sometimes it's dividend. You just have to make the most of the opportunity. Next one. I just realized I'm running out of time. Next one. Okay. I'm going to finish soon if I can. So I want you to look at this scripture again, all right? Prophecy. Prophecy is entering into the grace of God where you tap into the Holy Spirit and Scripture. To me, it has to be the Spirit and the Scripture. All right? If you're on the Spirit, sometimes it can be vain imagination. So I'm very, very careful with that. Whatever I come, revelation, I would always ask the Holy Spirit, give me some Scripture to back up so that it's not my head spinning. So 3E, very quick. All right, but one who prophesies speaks. Everything that God created, he speaks it out. And therefore, that's the power that God gives when you enter into the spirit of prophecy. You speak into being what is not. You speak hope that when hope is down. You speak faith. So that's edification, inspired to improve, build up. That's really inside, kind of like rah, 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 get yourself up. Exhortation is pure advising. The exhortation is also similar word to paraclete, which is Holy Spirit. You know, coming alongside counsel to comfort, to build up. And then encouragement is basically giving courage, strengthening, you know, but in not a rah, rah way. But it's just coming alongside, you know, companion and say, come on, we can do this. There's courage. You know, like Joshua, do not be dismayed. Do not be troubled. Do not fear. Be bold and courageous. Let's go for it. Next one. All right. So this is a new revelation. That's Adi. Last year, he got a piece of land that he had for 10 years. And he said, can you come to this land and see? That's what he said. Can you see what's on this land? I like, there's nothing here. But can you see? So I like, okay, I think you should do something about this land. I didn't use this scripture, but this scripture came to me when I saw his first harvest. So last year it was nothing. This year is housing melon. That's why he like, thumbs up, he start having creative idea, and now he want to put a warehouse in the Muslim village because he say the Muslim will recognize we're here to bless them. We're going to provide work, we're going to ask God, and then when the harvest come, we're going to have more and more, and they were like, oh, why are you doing this? All right. So my big thing about this revelation is you can't have old perspective if God is showing a new way. You have to let go of the old prescription. So, you know, I like glasses. Sorry, I don't like glasses. I just see a lot of them. So we know we wear our glasses in our mind. So we need new perspective for the new pathway that God is leading. And part of the perspective, obviously, is the new paradigm. No new paradigm, you're not going to see what God is doing the new way. All right? So therefore, we have to throw away our old prescription. Get a new one from Oscar Wilde. Now I don't have shares there. You can get anyone anywhere, all right? But get a new one. Ask the Holy Spirit for new prescription and new perspective, because God do not like doing same old, same old. So like, God, what are you doing? So he said, now it springs up, all right? So I saw something there. I say, can't you see what's happening in this land last year? He said, no. I say, I can't see too, but I think you have to sow in faith, all right? Don't worry about your past failure. So he was bankrupt and all that. So I'll just take 3 more minutes, okay? So basically, if God is doing a new thing, throw away your old glasses, throw away your old mindset, and ask God to renew your mind, give you a new perspective, have a paradigm shift in the spirit, and then you look, and then you begin to see in faith, oh, I can see water in the wasteland. I can see a way out in the wilderness. Thank you, Lord, you're doing a new thing. Hallelujah. Next one. So my brothers and sisters, I want to end with encouraging all of us from Paul's encouragement. Pursue love, but love on its own is not enough. Love needs to be manifest in a very practical way. And part of the practical way is spiritual gifts. We know 1 Corinthians 13 is all about love. 1 Corinthians 12 is 9 spiritual gifts. And Paul say, yeah, I know love is the best. I want you to pursue it. But guess what? Guess what? Earnestly, eagerly, zealously desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. What that means is, as Moses say, I wish all can prophesy. Paul is saying the same thing to the New Testament. That's what he's saying. Prophecy, everybody can go for it. That's what Paul is saying. I didn't say that, but you can see that plainly. Everyone, go for it. Zealously, earnestly, eagerly desire all spiritual gifts, especially you may prophesy. So we're going to end, and we're going to sing a few songs. And then I hopefully can impart something to you, what I experienced in Lombok, Palu, and Temanggung. So, just to prepare you, Romans 1, 11 and 12 is a scripture that I take wherever God sends me. And Romans 1, 11, Paul say, I'm eager to come to you, Romans, so that I can impart some spiritual gift to you so that you'll be strengthened, established. And it's a mutual thing. I come, I'll receive encouragement, but I'll also be there to encourage you. So as I come back from Indonesia, I want to bring back what I experienced. And if you want more spiritual gift, especially prophecy, we're going to somehow do a bit of impartation. It's very simple. You just open your heart. So with Romans 1:11, it's like, you know, isn't spiritual gift from Holy Spirit? I know it is, but sometimes it's through someone else. That's what Paul would say. So I'm not Apostle Paul. I'm just, you know me, little toe.